We interrupt to bring you this.
You've connected with a worldwide network of millions. You're on TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
It's time for the Race Report. Your full speed hour of NASCAR news and talk.
Yo, we didn't have much of a choice because we thought we were going to blow up.
Here are your hosts, Steve Barker.
I'm the best there is. Nobody can hang with my stuff.
And Sam Atwell.
You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Ready to talk NASCAR on the Race Report.
No trouble. All right, it's a pin in.
Montoya Jr.
Look at this. Oh, man, what disappointment for the 42. And we are back racing again at the Brickyard 400.
Can he hang on that outside here?
Well, we're going to find out because a lot of guys are going with him.
Well, takes the lead off of turn one.
So give Jamie McMurray the lead down the backstretch for the last time.
Now you see it, right? Yeah, you can see it coming off the corner.
Yeah!
Jamie McMurray is going to win Daytona and the Brickyard 400 in the same year.
Marty Reed, Dale Jarrett, and Andy Petrie with a call on ESPN of Jamie McMurray's victory in the Brickyard 400. Welcome to the Race Report. I'm Steve Parker.
And I'm Sam Atwell.
McMurray sweeps the two biggest events of the Sprint Cup season and gives owner Chip Ganassi a rare hat trick. McMurray's win eased the sting of teammate Juan Montoya, again dominating the race only to have late trouble. Let's talk some NASCAR on the Race Report.
Now with a look at this week's NASCAR news, here's Steve with the racing headlines.
Last season at the Brickyard 400, after having the dominant car most of the day, Juan Pablo Montoya lost any shot at victory with a pit road speeding penalty late in the event. Sunday in Indianapolis, Montoya started on the pole and led nearly all day. It appeared he would get redemption for last season's gaffe. Then, on a round of pit stops with 20 laps remaining, Montoya went with four tires, while several other front runners chose to only take right side rubber. Montoya restarted seventh, and while trying to get back to the front, lost control and smacked the wall. With heavy damage, his day was done. Jamie McMurray was one of those who went with two tires on that pit stop, restarting second after Montoya's crash. He quickly got around Kevin Harvick for the lead and then drove away for a sweep of NASCAR's two biggest events. McMurray also won the season opening Daytona 500. It also means owner Chip Ganassi went to victory lane in the Daytona 500, Indianapolis 500 with Dario Franchitti, and the Brickyard 400 in the same season. Behind Harvick, Greg Biffle, Clint Bowyer, and Tony Stewart were the rest of the top five. Team owner Jack Roush remains hospitalized in serious but stable condition after the plane he was piloting crashed on landing in Wisconsin late Tuesday. Roush and his only passenger were able to walk out of the plane, but videos of the incident show Roush with blood covering his face. It's unclear at this point what led to the crash, but the fuselage of the small jet was broken in half. Former Cup Series champion Bobby Labonte has a new full-time ride for 2011. Labonte will take over the seat of the 47 Toyota for JTG Doherty Racing. It was announced earlier in the week that the current driver of the 47, Marcus Ambrose, would not return to the team next season. And NASCAR has reportedly fined two drivers this week for comments deemed detrimental to the sport. While NASCAR declined to identify the drivers publicly, ESPN is reporting they were Denny Hamlin and Ryan Newman. And those are the racing headlines on the Race Report. Coming up on this edition of the Race Report, Ganassi Racing has the agony and the thrill as Juan Montoya dominates the race all day but wasn't around for the finish. For the second year in a row at the Brickyard, what appeared sure victory ended in disappointment for Montoya. But it opened the door for teammate Jamie McMurray to get the win. Jack Roush in serious but stable condition after a plane crash, and NASCAR has fined two of its stars for making disparaging comments about the sport. What do you think they said? Hey, look at all the empty seats at the Brickyard. We'll have all that and more coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
If it happens on the track or off, and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
Yes, you are. And thanks for listening to the Race Report. I'm Steve. He's Sam. Jamie McMurray gets the big win in the Brickyard 400.
Huge win. Huge win for that team.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man.
He started fourth, so was right up front there and was up front all day long. Looked like only his teammate was going to best him as Montoya once again, like last year, dominated the race.
Yes, he did.
Just, was just driving away to big leads on a couple of different occasions. And
Oops.
Went with four tires on that late pit stop with 20 to go, back in seventh place, and maybe a little over-anxious to get his way, make his way back to the front. And he just put it in the wall.
Yes, he did.
No other way to describe it. He just lost it and put it in the wall. And Montoya has another disappointing day.
He was pretty upset, too.
Yeah, I don't blame him. let's take a look and see where your favorite driver finished in last Sunday's Brickyard 400.
Your winner was Jamie McMurray. Kevin Harvick was second. Greg Biffle third. Fourth, Clint Bowyer. Fifth, Tony Stewart. Sixth, Jeff Burton. Seventh, Carl Edwards. 8th, Kyle Busch. 9th, Joey Logano. 10th, Kurt Busch.
And finishing 11th, Mark Martin. Matt Kenseth was 12th. 13th, Casey Kane. 14th, Paul Menard. Denny Hamlin finishes 15th. 16th, to A.J. Allmendinger. Ryan Newman was 17th. 18th, Bill Elliott. Brad Keselowski, 19th. David Ragan rounds out the top 20.
21st, Marcus Ambrose. 22nd, Jimmy Johnson. 23rd, Jeff Gordon. 24th, Travis Quappel. 25th, Scott Speed. 26th, Martin Truex Jr. 27th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 28th, David Ruderman. 29th, Jacques Villeneuve. And 30th, Sam Hornish Jr.
Bobby Labonte, 31st. 32nd, Juan Montoya.
Ouch.
After just dominating the race. Regan Smith, 33rd. 34th to Kevin Conway. 35th was Reed Sorensen. Robbie Gordon was 36th. 37th, Todd Bodine. Elliot Sadler finishes 38th. 39th, Landon Castle. Joan Nemechek was 40th. Dave Blaney, 41st. Michael McDowell, 42nd. 43rd, Max Pappas, who ran a whopping 15 laps.
Wow, that's a big day at the office.
It was a very big day. So once again, I know it's the Brickyard, the storied, historic racetrack, but there were a couple of times there where Harvick and McMurray diced a little bit, but for the most part, those people that were out picnicking or doing something other than sitting in the Brickyard that day were probably...
There were a lot of those.
There were a lot
wow.
of empty seats. I was stunned. We'll talk about that a little bit later on, too, as NASCAR continues to try and come up with something to maybe kind of inject a little life back into the sport that clearly... I'd say has peaked in its popularity over the last
peaked.
Couple
that
of years.
Easily.
Called the fastest growing sport just a few years ago. It's kind of leveled off, to say the least. Is it the economy? Is it something else? I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, hats off to Jamie McMurray. His teammates' problems paved the way for him to get in position. He was probably the second best car all day long. Had nothing for Montoya until Montoya destroyed his car by bouncing it off the wall and off of Dale Earnhardt Jr. And then that was the end of his day, and McMurray was able to get around Harvick. Harvick had just passed him as the caution came out for Montoya's crash, so McMurray restarted second but got around him in no time and drove away and really wasn't challenged there over the closing laps to get the sweep of NASCAR's crown jewel events at Daytona 500 to start the season and now winning the Brickyard 400.
Mr. McMurray's had a pretty good season.
He has had a good season.
And so is his owner.
Yeah, because also Daytona 500 and Brickyard 400 wins, and of course sandwiched in between back in May, his IndyCar team with Dario Franchitti won the Indianapolis 500.
So Chip Ganassi's had a pretty good year so far.
He's
and
won the big
I tell
ones.
You what, it's amazing to see the resurgence of Jamie McMurray. You know, he spent those years at Roush Racing and just really
did absolutely nothing.
Nothing. And then at the end of last season, didn't know where he was going to drive, didn't have any idea where he was going to be. And he turns around and hooks up with a ride with Ganassi Earnhardt Racing, and lo and behold, he wins the two biggest races of the season.
Yeah, it good for him. Now, he's still not, by any means, cinched to make the chase. He's had enough bad runs this season that he could still miss the chase and not be part of that.
No, but he's got two more wins than most of the guys in the chase.
In the chase contention right now, that's for sure. And we will look at the point standings when we come back in the next segment. But, yeah, good for Jamie McMurray. Tough for Juan Montoya. I felt bad for him because he certainly had the car to beat all day long, as he did last year. Last year was flat out a mistake on his part, a pit road speeding penalty that he once he had it, he spent the rest of the race arguing about it, which did him absolutely no good. And this time, you know, probably another driver mistake. I'd say maybe a little over-anxious to get back to the front after he fell back to seventh place with a four-tire change when a lot of other teams, like McMurray, only took two on that last pit stop, and two seemed to be okay.
His crew chief said that would totally was his fault. He blew that call, but I don't know. There's always the debate, two or four, and I don't know. You just never
you have
know
to
how
look,
it's going to work.
I mean, and obviously the crew chiefs are doing this, but I mean, you obviously have to look at how your tire wear has been all day. How much do they drop off? I mean, we're inside 20 laps. Obviously, a few more laps left, you're going to take four, and there's probably not even the option. But they were right at that line. Are there enough laps left for four to make a difference over two? I don't know. Montoya only restarted seventh. The thing about Indy and Pocono, where we're going this week, that I think doesn't lend itself to great racing sometimes, you have these flat tracks, these long straightaways, And it just seems like once you fall behind by a little bit, you just can't catch up.
Yeah.
It just takes, you've got those, just those long straightaways and just can't gain any ground. That's why you just see these long gaps. And it's easy to say in hindsight, but two tires seem to work pretty well. I just think track position was so critical there. I don't think I'd have made that four-tire change with less than 20 laps to go.
I don't remember anybody else taking four off the top of my head.
There were a couple of other guys that did, but...
But they were not in the position he was.
I don't remember. I'm trying to think what Biffle did on that last stop. Biffle might have taken four. He ended up third. I don't remember. But definitely it seemed like the move was to take two, because that's what Harvick and McMurray did. Those guys ended up 1-2, and really, there didn't seem to be enough drop-off that it really was an issue. So I definitely know Brian Patti and Juan Pablo Montoya wish now that they had taken two.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt about that, and not put themselves back in the position they were in to get themselves in trouble, and big trouble it was, although, again, it looked to be Montoya's fault because nobody was around him. He just lost the car, put it in the wall, bounced off Dale Earnhardt Jr., who, unfortunately for him, as he's trying to make something happen, was an innocent bystander of that.
That time, yeah.
Yeah, so it ruined his day as well. All right, stick around. We'll come back and take a look at the point standings and who has hurt themselves further and who maybe made a move, get closer to or into chase contention. That's all coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
Welcome back to the Race Report. Pardon me. A little frog in my throat there.
Supposed to do that before you
know,
open your mic.
I didn't know he was there until I started to talk. And then I realized
people
the frog.
Are think we don't know what we're doing.
Well, they probably are. I think they figured that out by now that we don't. All right. Still looking at the Brickyard 400 from last Sunday. Of course, Jamie McMurray gets the big win. And, of course, some other guys had some trouble. Some of these guys just, you know, like Chicago, when some of these top teams just missed it, just missed the setup. Jimmy Johnson, they're changing shocks on the 48 car during the race.
When was the last time you saw them do that during a race?
Yeah, I mean, they completely missed it. Jeff Gordon was way off. I mean, when was the last time you saw him just really struggle at the Brickyard?
Yeah, but what ruined his day was that last tire issue and it broke the splitter on the front of the car.
Yeah.
He was going to have a decent finish. He was not going to be challenging for the win.
Maybe. He was running around 12th, 13th, 14th.
I think he may have lucked into a top 10.
Maybe. But he lost a lap. And that, of course, put him behind the 8-ball there, and they did manage to get back onto the lead lap, but he ends up 23rd, right behind Jimmy Johnson, who ends up 22nd. But, I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The 48 car on pit road changing shocks during the race, trying to get them changed under caution, which, if there's ever a place you could do it and not lose a lap, it would be Indy. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't get it done. Pace car came around, and they fell a lap down.
But you look at the 48 team, look at the things that have happened to them this season that didn't happen to them for 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, the trouble they've gotten into, the missing the setup on the car. And then, like you say, changing shocks. Maybe the magic is gone. Maybe it is.
I don't know. We'll find out. It all comes down to the final 10 races, because that's when the 48 team brings it to another level that nobody else has been able to match for the last 4 years. Can they do it again? We will see here in a few weeks. Of course, we are closing in on the chase. What are we, six races to go? Six races to go in the race to the chase. And talk about McMurray. He still finds himself 151 points out of chase contention in 16th place. That's a lot to make up. Could do it if he can continue to run well, and some of these other guys have trouble. That's the thing. It's not necessarily the points you're behind 12. It's how many guys you have to climb over to get there. How many other guys have to have trouble for you to really make a move? And right now, Mark Martin is in 13th place. Clint Bowyer holds down the 12th spot. Mark Martin, though, has slipped 62 points. That's the widest gap we've seen between 12th and 13th
in a while.
Mark Martin is 13th, 62 points behind Bowyer. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 31 points behind Martin, 93
continues
back to Bowyer.
Slip.
And then it's still a fairly wide gap back there. Ryan Newman in 15th is 147 points out of 12th. And as we said, McMurray is next at 151 back, 156 back to Casey Kane. And Juan Montoya now, who made the chase last year and has been strong.
See you, Juan.
Has had a strong car. He's 325 points out of 12th place in 22nd position.
The Brickyard was pretty much a microcosm of his season.
It was. Absolutely, it was. A good car, maybe probably a winning car. I think definitely the winning car. But trouble. You know, they just have found. You talk about Jimmy Johnson having some bad luck. He still's had nothing compared to what Montoya has seen this year. Of course, the top of the standings really haven't changed much still. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Busch, the top four. Kyle Busch, Jeff Burton, Matt Kenseth. They're all pretty secure. Tony Stewart's looking pretty good. He's 160 points up on 12th place Clint Bowyer. Then it gets a little bit dicey. Little Carl Edwards has moved out to 112 points out of 13th, so looking a little bit better there than Greg Biffle. Clint Bowyer really still squarely on the chase bubble with six races to go. And, of course, as we talked about, only five drivers that are currently in chase contention have race wins this year that would gain bonus points heading into the chase. That, of course, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin with five apiece, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, each have two victories. That's it. Nobody else currently in the top 12 has a win. So in spite of Jeff Gordon not able to score a victory this year, based on his consistent finishes, his top five, still leading the series in top fives, he would start the chase in fifth place. In sixth place. So not too bad.
Yeah. Not too bad, but you got to wonder if it's going to be, the next six races are going to be very interesting to see what it really. I'm getting more and more concerned. Like I said a little bit ago, I'm more concerned about this 48 team and whether the magic is gone.
No.
I don't know.
No, it's not.
We'll see.
They may run into some bad luck. But I'll guarantee they'll win at least a couple of races in the chase. And I mean, they'll be right there. And unless they, I said early in the season, that's why I thought this might be the year the streak comes to an end of championships, just because of the luck can't continue. I was saying they're going to still be good, but the bad luck's going to finally find them this year. And it certainly has to this point. Whether or not that will continue into the chase, I don't know. It's been kind of funny, and we're coming up against the break here, but last year at this time, it seemed that there were so many good teams, it was hard to pick a clear-cut favorite going into the chase. Because it just seemed like there's so many guys. We're like, man, this whole top 12 could legitimately have a shot at winning the championship. Kind of look at it this year with Jimmy Johnson's bad luck. Denny Hamlin's kind of slipped back. Kyle Busch is still inconsistent. I'm looking at this year and thinking, who's going to win? I mean, who wants to win it? I mean, I don't know that there's anybody championship-worthy looking right now.
No, there's really not.
I'm still telling you, I've said it for a while, the team I still think is going to be the team to watch out for is the two. I still think Kurt Busch.
I don't know.
I mean, I just think they're the guy. They just may have something for that final
chance. I just like the way that they're just kind of cruising along, doing the work and being, they're just flying under the radar. You got to watch out for those guys.
But they haven't looked as strong recently as they did for a while either. But I still think that's a team to reckon with come chase time. And I'm telling you, until they're out of it, that 48's the favorite.
So yep.
Stick around. Coming back with the second half of the race report, we'll hear from the top finishers of the Brickyard after this.
On the track or off, Steve and Sam know about it. You're listening to the Race Report.
And welcome back to the Race Report. Well, he hasn't been very consistent this year, and that's why he's in 16th place in points and struggling to make it into chase contention. But Jamie McMurray has won the two biggest races that they race in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Kicked off the season with a win in the Daytona 500 and, of course, gets the win last Sunday in the Brickyard 400. And like we talked about earlier, kind of a history-making thing for his car owner, Chip Ganassi. And not only does he win the crown jewel events in NASCAR, throw in there an Indy 500 win as well with his IndyCar team. Dario Franchitti got the win at the Brickyard back in May.
So. And he's only a couple hundredths of a second away from winning the Coke 600 in May.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Jamie McMurray finished second there.
Yeah. It's McMurray has been at his best in the biggest events this year. There's no doubt about that. But, again, inconsistency, some poor finishes have him struggling to make it into chase contention. McMurray talks about his owner's unusual motorsports hat trick and doesn't think that's going to be happening again anytime soon.
It most likely won't. I think it's very hard to have. I mean, Chip is just having such a year between the NASCAR side and the IndyCar side. And I think it's
true. American.
Yeah. And, I'll be honest, the thing that I think of the most is that they almost won the 24 Hours of Daytona. I think they finished second. But I just don't, it's just so hard to get both organizations good at the same time. And then this race, the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 are races of strategy and you see guys dominate those races and not win. So it's just remarkable what he's been able to put together and the people he's been able to hire. I feel very very honored to get to be a part of that accomplishment.
A big part of that accomplishment, of course, getting the Daytona 500 win and the Brickyard 400 win, Jamie McMurray. And, of course, talk about dominating and not winning. That would certainly apply to Jamie McMurray's teammate last Sunday, Juan Montoya. And McMurray talks about that, and he said he just felt it was Montoya's week.
Just remarkable to get to be here, and I'm a big believer in fate, and I really believe that this was Juan's weekend. You know, he had a really good tire test here, and he ran so well last year and had a chance to win the race. And I just think that, you know, things normally work themselves out. And then when, you know, I'm looking with 15 or 20 laps to go and Juan's leading and I'm running second. And not that I was content, but I was like, you know, if this is the way it's supposed to be, then it's just the way it is. And then I was, you know, I was like, I'm going to be really happy for Chip and Juan and everyone at our team, because this is really big. I mean, it's just a major accomplishment what we've all been able to put together. And that team, the 42 team, has had some really good cars, and they just have had some bad luck and gotten put in bad positions. So it was unfortunate for them.
It was unfortunate for Juan Montoya, but kicked open the door for Jamie McMurray to get the win and salvage what could have been a horrible day for Ganassi Racing, turned it into a pretty spectacular day. And owner Chip Ganassi talks about NASCAR being a team sport and says McMurray wouldn't have been where he was without the work of the 42.
Look, it takes a team to win in this sport, and Bono will tell you that he and Brian Patty are like brothers. And Jamie will tell you, he and Juan are, I wouldn't call them brothers, but they have an open book. They're open book, and they help each other all weekend. So, you know, this is a win for the team. And then certainly we sit here and, you know, I don't want to take anything away from Jamie and Bono, but the team wins and the team loses. And today was certainly a mixed emotions day in that respect. But without the 42 team, the one car wouldn't have won, I don't think. And vice versa. So that's what happens. Is it surreal? Yes.
And Chip Ganassi there talking about a lot of teamwork going on there at Chip Ganassi Racing, and it certainly is working for them right now. Well, let's hear from second place finisher Kevin Harvick on his day.
You know, we took a gamble there at the end to take two tires, and on the first restart it took off great. We were able to run Jamie down and pass him. Second restart it didn't take off so great. Just got tight, and he drove around the outside of me, so... I guess just the first cycle on those new right side tires carried us through, and we were just tight the whole second restart. But still a great day. Took a chance to try to win the race, and all but capitalized on it, and just came up one short.
And of course, another solid finish for Kevin Harvick, and that's a good bounce back for him, because remember a couple of weeks ago he struggled mightily at Chicago, where they just flat missed the setup. Greg Biffle came in third. He talks about racing Kevin Harvick there late in the race for second place.
I was a lot faster than Kevin, but I just couldn't get, you know, I tried the top a little bit, which was probably stupid, but, you know, I tried to get my fender outside of him a little bit on the top there to see if I could get a little run at it, but you know, I might have been able to make that work, but I didn't want to wreck, so I just gave up on that.
Yeah, Biffle's not in a position. He is not in a points position to be gambling to gain one position.
He needs to just have decent finishes.
Yeah, he is on the chase bubble.
He needs to be big picture racing.
He needs to settle for third and not sacrifice that to get second place. So that was definitely a good move for Greg Biffle there, because, unlike Harvick, who was obviously in the chase, he's the points leader. Biffle is kind of hanging down there in a dangerous area at the bottom of the top 12. So third place will do just fine. Don't want to wreck myself trying to get second. All right, stick around. When we come back, we'll hear from some more drivers. Mark Martin says his team is coming back. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. says he and Mark Martin are both improving as they try and sneak into the chase. We'll see. But all that's coming up when we come back on the Race Report.
Or maybe that's just Steve and Sam. You found the Race Report.
Welcome back to the Race Report. A couple of things I want to touch on. How about this plane crash with Jack Roush late Tuesday afternoon? He was going to the big air show up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and not sure exactly what happened. I just know The airplane was flat on the ground on its belly, so I don't know if it was
and
a gear.
And broken in half.
Broken in half. He hit hard. This was a hard landing.
Yeah, they called it a hard landing.
It was a crash.
That looks like a crash to me.
A hard landing is when you go, oof. You don't, not, when you break the plane in half, that's a crash.
That's a crash, yeah. I didn't quite understand the terminology.
Fortunately, Jack and his only passenger, Gail Strickland, I believe was her name, a friend of his, they were able to walk out of the plane. And I don't know if you've seen the video. The video's pretty dramatic.
Pretty gross.
Jack, pretty gruesome. Jack Roush comes out of the plane. The guy's spraying the plane down. There's no visible flame or anything like that, but they do that. And the fireman is spraying the plane down and pops the door, and Jack comes walking out, blood covering his face and down the front of his shirt. Obviously, on the impact, he hit his head probably on the instrument panel or something up there and cut his face up. So, it's going to probably need, I'd say, at least stitches, if not some surgery on that. But
this is the second plane crash.
8-9 years ago, down around Talladega.
I don't know if it was that long ago.
I think it might have been at least that long ago.
2000, it was. 2002, 2003, maybe.
Getting back in that range. I don't know exactly when, but it's been a while ago. Jack Roush was piloting an experimental aircraft and ended up landing, basically crashing that upside down in a pond.
He hit power lines.
Okay, that's right. But he ended up upside down in a pond, and talk about God watching over you here. I mean, this was a case. There was a guy who had been a former military
ex-marine
guy, trained in water rescue, who's nearby, goes in and pulls Jack Roush out of this thing. So now this is two near disastrous incidents for Jack Roush and with his aviation thing. Again, this was a big jet, like a corporate type jet. But anyway, a very scary situation. Again, Roush is lucky to be in as good a shape as he's in, able to walk out of the wreckage, but certainly some injuries, and he is in serious but stable condition as we record this now. So again, we'll have to see what happens if he's able to be at Pocono. I would think probably not. But you never know. But anyway, just glad that Jack Roush is okay. And Mark Martin, he's not really okay as far as the chase right now. He is in 13th place, but again, he is not in great position as he is 62 points behind 13th place Clint Boyer right now, so he has some work to do.
You have some sound from him?
I do have some sound from Mark.
Okay, go ahead.
He seems a little encouraged, and he's glad his fans are sticking with him, but he says he thinks the hard work of his team is starting to pay off, and he feels like they're getting back closer to the form of last season.
I'm, encouraged, like I said, with the progress that we've been able to make. It's really hard to do in the middle of a race season when you realize that you're behind. And these guys are digging, and they're digging in, and we're making progress, and we've got more in front of us. So kudos to them, and I just want to thank all my race fans out there for keeping the faith. I feel like we're going, we're on our way back to the kind of contention form like last year.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts? Well, they haven't had, they've had some bad luck too this year, but I'm wondering if all this talk about his future at Hendrick Motorsports is not becoming a little distracting for the team.
Possibly, but he didn't get off to a good start this year. The difference between, I was looking at something. It's kind of odd. I was looking at this, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but I did look at this earlier in the week. I believe he only has one fewer top five finish at this point this season than he did at this point last season. And remember, he found himself kind of on the chase bubble as we closed in on the chase last year. Even though the difference is this year, even when he hasn't had trouble, he hasn't necessarily run all that well and has not been a threat to win a race at all. And at this time last year, he had four wins.
Right.
That's the big difference. When his car, when he didn't have a mechanical failure or a crash last year, he was top five, if not winning.
Right.
The problem is he had way too many problems last year, too many races with mechanical failures and crashes, especially early in the year, that dug him a hole. But odd to think that he actually is within one top five finish, again, at this point right now, compared to last season. So, I mean, that is about the same. But the difference is this year he doesn't have the wins that gain you maximum points, which he did. He had four wins last year, which had him in much better position. But it seems like even though Mark Martin has never missed the chase in a full-time season, how many times has he been at this point, at this time of the year, on the chase bubble? I mean, he made one of the most incredible comebacks, I think, back in 05 or something like that, where he came from way out to make the chase. But, I mean, it seems like he's always struggling to get in the chase. Now, last year, he got in and then ended up finishing second, won the race at New Hampshire to start the chase, and was right there and was kind of nipping at Jimmy Johnson's heels for a while. So, I mean, the chase went pretty well for him. But, again, Mark finds himself just struggling to get into the top 12, And who knows what he'll have left when he gets there. I mean, if they really are, if he really is, and Mark doesn't, he's not prone to hyperbole. I mean, if he really believes they've turned it around, I'm thinking he really believes that. I should say, if he says they're doing it, he really believes it. So maybe if he can get in, he can be a factor.
Yeah, but I got to think, I've been hearing some things and reading some things where Mark is getting a little testy with the media.
He's tired of answering, what are you going to be doing next year?
Driving
the five car for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, and that's unlike him. He doesn't usually get that way with the media. And I begin to wonder if all this speculation about his future and everything else is kind of maybe wearing thin and causing him to lose a little bit of focus.
And obviously, if you haven't followed the whole soap opera here, Casey Kane has signed to drive with Hendrick Motorsports starting next season. The contract with Hendrick actually begins next year. And so there continues to be speculation that Casey Kane will end up in that five car next year, and Mark Martin will go do something else, in spite of the fact that both Rick Hendrick and Mark Martin say they will honor Mark's contract. He will be in the five car next year. They'll find something else for Casey
Kane. I don't
know
how you can, and we know, we've all heard this, and we've talked to drivers, and you know, we've asked them about their future, and they say, oh, no, nothing's changed. And then 2 days later,
they'll look you right in the eye and say, nope, nothing, and then, yeah.
But I got to tell you, if Rick Hendrick is coming out and saying, I'm going to honor his contract, and Mark's going to be driving for, I got to believe Rick
Mark's going to be in the five next year. Mark will be in the five car next year. I have no doubts. I really, truly believe that, and I'm like you, because Rick Hendrick says it.
Yep.
And, you know, Mark is usually a pretty straight shooter as well, unless he's talking about whether he's going to retire or not. Went to the Brett Favre school of decision making. At any rate, stick around. We'll come back and wrap up the race report after this.
NASCAR talk, you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Race Report.
Yes, you are listening to the Race Report. Talked about Mark Martin, of course, and that he feels confident his team has made strides and that the 5 team is coming back into championship contending form that they showed all season last year when they weren't wrecking or blowing up, but not quite as good this year, even when Mark has not had trouble, has not run as well as he did back in 2009 when he picked up 4 wins before the chase and then kicked off the chase with the win at New Hampshire. So we'll see if Mark can round back into form. No better time than to start this week at Pocono, where he has, I think, 8 second-place finishes in his career.
Pretty good place to start.
But has never won a race. Let's also talk about his teammate, Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, somebody else we're keeping a close eye on. I mean, everybody associated with NASCAR in any shape or form wants Jr. in the chase because of his huge fan following.
Have they changed the rules yet?
They haven't. They have no. I don't think any word about letting more guys than 12 in at this point.
Okay.
And he talks about the fact that he and Mark are kind of on the same page as far as trying to get it together and get in the chase.
I think that they're just kind of in the same boat we are, where we're just missing a piece or two. And you'll have it 1 year or at some. You'll have it at some point, and then it'll just be gone. And there's no explanation, you know. It's really puzzling how that happens, and it's really, really hard to get back.
Junior hasn't had it for how long now?
A long time. He's still looking for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously back a few years ago, he was close. I mean, I think he finished in top 5 in points 1 year. I can't remember.
Finished third 1 year,
I think it was third. He and Carl Edwards got together a crash at Atlanta late in the season that cost Junior any chance of contending for the championship. I do remember the first year of the chase, 2004, he was one of the drivers that still had a mathematical shot coming into Homestead. We had like 4 drivers, Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Jr. was still mathematically alive for the championship heading into the season finale. Hasn't come that close again.
And not even
it has been a mighty struggle for the last couple of seasons for Dale Earnhardt.
But it may be, NASCAR may save him because the new chase rule I heard is going to be 12 plus junior. So I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
Dramatic change to the chase. I think that's going to be it.
Brian France talked again this week about not only changes to the chase, which we've already touched on. He talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Also, some big changes to the schedule. Now, I know here in our area, in the Midwest, we're hoping that we will get a second race at Kansas Speedway. That's been talked about a lot. ISC has made that request official. There's also been a date, I think, requested for Kentucky Speedway. That ain't going to happen.
Las Vegas.
Second date for Las Vegas. That I see as something that could possibly happen. What I want to know, when are they going to take a date away from Pocono
Can they do it before this weekend?
Might they take a date away from New Hampshire? Now, the thing is, New Hampshire, the racing there has gotten better since they redid the track and got the variable banking. The racing there is much better, and they still pack the place every time. So I don't know that a race will come away from New Hampshire, but I don't know that anybody would shed a tear if they took a race away from Pocono.
How about taking a race from Atlanta?
Possibly.
The spring race?
They don't fill that up. And the thing, you know, that's something else. We're going to run out of time. We're not going to get to it. We touched on it earlier, and I wanted to get to it, but all the empty seats in the Brickyard.
Oof.
I mean, empty seats, declining TV ratings. Now, I understand the economy. It is a big deal for a lot of these
people. It's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal to travel to a race. Race tickets are expensive. You have to get travel, hotel for the most part. You know, most of the people that are in the stands for a NASCAR Sprint Cup race don't live in that area. They travel. That's a vacation destination. They travel there. I know when they first put tickets on sale at Kansas Speedway here, they sold tickets to every
state in the union,
I think, except Hawaii, I think may have been the only one. I mean, that's the kind of thing. So I can see the impact of the economy there for sure, but the economy shouldn't affect the television ratings.
And they
steadily declined over the last 3 or 4 years. I know there's a lot more to watch on TV, but I don't know. And I mean, I think that's what NASCAR, I think, maybe is kind of getting in a little bit of a desperation mode.
Well,
They're
so desperate that owners are meeting together by themselves without NASCAR to try and solve this situation. They had a big town hall meeting this week.
And the PPPPP plan.
P.
The producer
times
Paul
four.
Playoff plan.
P to the four, power
hearing
four.
Hearing more about that this week. They may be looking at an elimination format.
Right here.
Started here on this show. I think that's where they got
the idea.
We're
going to make a pick.
Yeah, we do. Denny Hamlin, again. He won last time at Pocono.
Kurt Busch.
All right. That sounds good to me, too. But I think Hamlin will make it to Pocono sweep. Whatever happens, back with you to talk about it next time right here on the Race Report.
Good job, guys. Woo! All you guys done a heck of a job.